Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, that was quite a weekend, was it not? Quite a weekend, pretty amazing, a lot of crazy things going on, a lot of good things going on, miraculous. Really was miraculous. I was up in Washington, D.C. for the prayer march, and that was just never been with a group that large praying or singing a little taste of heaven. It was 75 to somewhere between 75 and 100,000 people is the official count. They had 50,000 people registered. This was the prayer march, official prayer march 2020 with Franklin Graham. He organized it, the BGEA, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. They had 50,000 people register. But by the time it was all done and said, somewhere between 75 and 100,000 people. And I was standing, we got there early. I went with my friends at RFA Church here in Raleigh. They got three different buses, and we got there a little early, which was great because I was able to see some friends and run into some people there up right in front of the Lincoln Memorial, kind of halfway up the steps as you come up from the reflecting pool up to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And then that's where they set up. That's where it all got started. That's where Vice President Pence showed up. He was about 15 feet in front of me, which was cool. And Franklin Graham getting it all started, and Michael W. Smith, and the worship going on. And there was some spontaneous worship happening before then as the crowd just grew and grew and grew, and then moved from kind of moved because the crowd went. If you've been to Washington, D.C., imagine, and I put a bunch of pictures on Facebook. So if you want to check that out, this is Steve Noble, by the way. Welcome to the show. Hope you had a great weekend. Thank you to my buddy Stu Epperson Jr. of the Truth Radio Network, who filled in for me on Friday. We're trying to get our house ready to list. So, you know, if you've been down that road, you know what it's like. All consuming. And we had an event last Thursday night, and then going to this thing on Saturday. It's just been crazy. Anyway, if you've been there, you know the Lincoln Memorial and the steps going all the way up to Lincoln Memorial. Then you have kind of a flat area. Then the steps go back down. Then you're at the reflecting pool. So it started there. But with 75 to 100,000 people, they pushed all the way back towards the back end of the reflecting pool, which takes you to the World War II Memorial. So it was, I think, five different prayer stops. So there was the Lincoln Memorial, then the World War II Memorial, then the Washington Monument over by the White House, the African American Museum, and then down close to the Capitol to finish it up. And to see people just breaking into groups, and there were prayer points, and you could tune in and listen because you had Franklin Graham and Greg Laurie and Skip Heitzig and a bunch of other people there, the pastor that President Trump was able to bring back a year and a half, two years ago. Was there, and he prayed, and Ann Graham Lotz prayed at the end with her brother Franklin. It was awesome and really, really powerful, very encouraging. And there's only one thing that ever makes me nervous about a situation like that is now hold on a second, okay? Don't jump to a conclusion here. I think as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be wary not to conflate too much our love of this nation and our patriotism with our Christianity. I have been uncomfortable for years now when we wrap a flag in the American, when we wrap a Bible in the American flag, or those patriotic pictures kind of blending Jesus and America and all that kind of stuff. Jesus is above and beyond the United States of America, okay? You do not conflate him with anything. He is the great I am. I just wrote a devotional on this today, the end of John chapter 8, when he said, before Abraham was, past tense, I am. Present imperative, and then going all the way back. Abraham looked forward to my coming, all right? You do not conflate Jesus Christ with anything. He is above, beyond, outside of, residing over a despotic, meaning totally in power, control of the universe, God that we worship. He's not an American, okay? So that's where I get a little, where we conflate the two, and I'm not judging anyone. If you have some political idolatry, or perhaps you're a little too far down the road and care more about America than Americans. Okay, so there's some of that stuff. I always get a little nervous about that. But largely, it was incredibly encouraging to see that many believers willing to come out and show up in a huge crowd and moving slowly and praying was just really powerful and really encouraging. I'm gonna if we have some time today, I'll play for you the closing prayer by Ann Graham Lotz. I don't know that we're going to have time. Then we had a little bit of an event last Thursday night for the ministry, my ministry here, the radio show and everything. And we're fortunate enough, the Speaker of the House here in North Carolina, Tim Moore, was able to show up. I didn't know he's going to be there. And he had some really encouraging words just endorsing the ministry. And we've known each other for years when I first got started. As a political activist, he was aware of that all the way back in 2004. But there's some things going on in North Carolina right now. North Carolina Board of Elections members resign over changes to the mail-in ballot law. This is happening around the country, and it's getting worse. Okay? So Representative Tim Moore is going to call in here at the top of the next segment and give us a little update on what's going on, because it's very alarming. It's happening more and more around the country, and that ties into what we were praying about over the weekend, and it also ties into what happened Saturday afternoon when Donald Trump officially nominated Amy Coney Barrett, and that's blowing up. Before we left town, I was able to walk around the backside of the Capitol building and go to the Supreme Court, and it's pretty calm right now. And by the way, when you get 75 to 100,000 Christians coming to town, man, burning, looting, graffiti, property destruction, broken windows, all kinds of lurid things being said, just really uncomfortable, very dangerous, stopping traffic and threatening people, bashing cars in, shutting down entire parts of the city, said no one ever, because that's not what we do, right? And that was awesome. There was like one small Black Lives Matter set up. They had a stage. It was a young African-American guy talking to the crowd there. By crowd, I mean like 35, 40 people surrounded by 75 to 100,000 Christians. Okay. And there were some Jewish people there also, which was awesome. But man, there was nobody that showed up to that. And by the way, you want to know who else didn't show up? The media. I didn't see any media. None. I didn't see anything on Fox News Saturday afternoon. I didn't see hardly anything anywhere on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC. But you want to know why? Because we scare the tar out of them. You do. You scare the tar out of the mainstream media and the liberal media. Because they, you know what they see? They see 75 to 100,000 Trump voters. That's what they see. Now you may go, yeah, amen, right, shish, boom, bah. But it's way deeper than that, friend. You know what they see? They see a physical manifestation of the power of God. And to those who are perishing, we being the children of God, those who are in faith through Christ Jesus. To those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. I can barely hear the radio, by the way. Can you bring that up a little bit? We are the aroma of death. And we remind them that there's a God and that he judges. And that's not funny. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. You won't believe what a pastor said yesterday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Talking about a lot of major things that were happening over the weekend. Of course, the prayer march that Franklin Graham led, and it was just an amazing success. Very encouraging, but a great reminder and a powerful reminder that we can get involved, we can vote, all those things, but our prayers are going to be the most powerful thing that we can engage. That's the most powerful weapon. But it does not take you. But some people vote, but they don't pray. Other people pray, but they don't vote. You need to be doing both. And when it comes to voting, we've got issues popping up all over the country and what they're doing on a state-by-state basis, especially the swing states. And here in North Carolina, where the Republicans are doing a great job in terms of being in control of the House and the Senate, which the Democrats controlled for over 100 years here, by the way. But things are starting to blow up here in North Carolina as well. The people on the left, literally, like I said on the break, will do anything. Forget the law. Forget decorum. Forget history. All bets are off. They will do anything they can to win the election because their hatred of Donald Trump and all things conservative is just beyond rationality. We've known that for a while, but now it's just getting bigger and worse, especially with Amy Coney Barrett's selection, nomination, which happened on Saturday. But here in North Carolina, Representative Tim Moore, the Speaker of the House in the great state of North Carolina. Tim, let me just say first, thanks for calling in right quick, and I know how busy you are. Let me just say publicly, you were able to show up at a little event we did last Thursday night, just with a real targeted group of people just trying to raise some money for the ministry. You were very encouraging and very kind. That was really nice of you to show up, and I really appreciated your kind words.
Well, thank you, Steve. It was good to see you there, and of course, I really appreciate what you're doing with this ministry and with getting information out there to folks, because you're supplying a lot of hard facts and information that people need to know out there.
That's exactly right. It's always a little depressing, and you know what this is like, that there's so many people that just kind of go about their business, and especially conservatives, because we don't really do groupthink, and we kind of just, you know, doing our own thing and providing for our families, running our businesses, whatever. But there's a situation that's come up in North Carolina. This is happening more and more around the country. So just kind of give us the 411. Get us up to speed with what's going on with the mail-in ballot law and what's happening with the North Carolina Board of Elections, because this is very serious and very troubling.
Well, absolutely. And so many folks may recall in the 2018 election, when the 9th district race ended up being set aside because of fraud that was happening with respect to absentee ballots. It was often called ballot harvesting, which is where individuals were apparently going around and collecting ballots and would have ballots sent to, would make the request for the absentee ballot, would get those, would fill those out basically for the voter, and then send those back in or turn them into the Board of Elections. The way a lot of that is discovered is that, number one, a stranger is not supposed to be turning in ballots by law for someone. To turn in a ballot for someone, you either need to be their guardian or a family member of some kind. And so you had situations, so you think, for example, of folks in a nursing home who might be taken advantage of, where someone just goes in and collects a bunch of ballots. And so the way that we discovered that there had been a problem with it was the fact that when the ballots were to be turned in, there was a log that was filled out where the name and address of the person who turned it in was there, as well as on the envelopes of the ballots, the voter themselves had to sign it, and then that signature had to be witnessed. Well, the way that the issue there was discovered was by virtue of that information, by having the access to who the names of the people were, who was turning in the ballots. And so when they did an investigation, when the allegations came up, they were able to track it down and discover who those folks were. So after all of that, now the Democrats have sued the Democrat State Board of Elections that Governor Cooper controls, but wanting basically to get rid of that, to say you don't need the witness requirement and you don't need to know who's turned in the ballots, that they can just be anonymously dropped off. And so this is the scam that was perpetrated. A Democratic leftist organization sued a Democratic controlled Board of Elections, and they reached a quote consent order to settle the case. They didn't even bring in or involve. Yeah, they didn't. So Senator Berger and myself were defendants to this lawsuit on behalf of the North Carolina General Assembly that passed these laws. They didn't even consult us about the settlement. They were literally trying to do a settlement and not even have us involved in it. That is unheard of. So here's the other interesting fact. The attorney for this group suing the State Board of Elections was formerly Governor Cooper's attorney during his recount issue with McCrory. And this same organization, guess who their keynote speaker was a couple of years ago?
This ought to be good.
Their keynote speaker was Josh Stein, who's supposed to be our lawyer for the state. And guess what Josh Stein spoke about at their conference? Election.
Excellent.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is absolutely unethical what they've tried to do. And so as a result, we felt like we were not going to get a fair shake. We feel like the people of North Carolina were not going to get a fair shake in this. So we filed a lawsuit in the federal court in the Eastern District of North Carolina.
Good.
Because it's also federal rights involved. We have a lawsuit that we filed, and then the Trump campaign and two members of Congress also filed a second lawsuit. So there are multiple lawsuits going against this scam that they're trying to perpetrate, and the governor ought to be ashamed of this. I mean, this is just unbelievable. That everybody acknowledges that voter fraud is most easily perpetrated with these absentee ballots.
That's right.
And they're now wanting basically anonymous drop boxes.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, I've been talking about this for months, Tim, and you're aware of this. It's really shocking. I mean, all the pretense is gone. All the veils are gone. Any attempt at all to hide anything or nuance anything or do something subtle is completely gone. The radical nature of the left and the unlawful nature of the left at this point is on full display. Nobody should be questioning this. This is obvious, and it's not just in North Carolina. It's happening in more states around the country. So obviously, Tim, what's behind this, I would assume, is the Trump election, the Cooper, trying to keep Cooper in office as opposed to Dan Forrest getting in there, and they're just still willing to come right out in public and try to rig the whole thing. Am I overstating that?
You're not over. Listen, for the first time ever, Steve Noble, you might be understating something. It is so critical. Look, here's the deal with North Carolina. We are the number one targeted state in the country by the Democrats. They want to take over the state legislature in this state as much as they want to be able to breathe oxygen. Because if they do that, there are 14 seats that we have in Congress, yep. And they've already advertised that if they take over, they're going to draw rig it so that only about 4 Republicans represent North Carolina and 10 Democrats, which is enough of a cushion in Congress where Nancy Pelosi could be sure that she would be Speaker as right. long as she wanted to be, because the Democrats right. would have control. That, as well as, of course, Senator Tillis, whose race may in fact determine the majority of the United States Senate.
Right, that's right.
All of these things are in play.
Yeah, really remarkable. Anything we can do just as citizens here in North Carolina, Tim, besides pray? And obviously we got to get out and vote. I always vote on election day. I'm not going to monkey around with the mail or anything else. But anything else that we can do to support you guys?
So I would say pray. I would say advocate. I would say for those who are interested in helping out with what we're doing, I have a website. It is Tim Moore, NC, TimMoreNC.com. That's my website there. We've got information there where we've actually got some releases that we've posted
Excellent.
Up about this issue where folks can share to social media. But
Very
certainly
good.
Appreciate any of the prayers and support out there.
Absolutely. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you calling in. We'll do it again real soon. Representative Tim Moore, Speaker of the North Carolina House. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Appreciate Representative Tim Moore calling in, North Carolina Speaker of the House. And just pay attention to all this stuff, okay? And be in prayer like we were on Saturday. That type of fervent prayer needs to continue between now and the election and then after that, because I highly doubt that the election will be over on November 3rd. There's all kinds of illegalities going on. There's spiritual forces at play here. The darkness is growing and billowing all over the place. We've never seen a time like this, so we should be praying like we never have before. So vote, be engaged, pay attention on social media, all the other stuff, yes. Drive to Washington, D.C., yes. But if all we do is go up to D.C. and a bunch of us pray for a couple hours, and then we go home, we go back about our business, that's just one shot. It felt good, it looked good, but that ain't enough. Not when this is really an existential threat to the United States as she is today and into the future. And I'm not overstating that. It really is. It is that serious. So we have to pay attention and be on our knees. We should be praying about this every day. Praying about this every day, okay? A couple things about Amy Coney Barrett, and then you will be shocked. So if you're on Facebook Live, you'll see the video. If you're on the radio, you'll hear it. Just a little over 2 minutes, Pastor Chad Harvey, RFA Church, has been on several times in the last couple months on Theology Thursday. He said some things yesterday I've never heard a pastor say. I was there. I went there. I was dead tired from all going up to D.C. and back. But I'm like, I have to see this because I kind of knew what was coming. I've never seen a pastor do that before. But you're going to hear it for yourself, okay, in just a minute. Republicans, Amy Coney Barrett, Senate floor vote at the end of October. So this is going to start on October 12th, okay, with the Senate Judiciary Committee, which they don't have to do, by the way. So they're going to do that. And they're looking at 3 days or so. Then they're hoping to put their nomination out of committee by October 22nd, leading to a potential confirmation vote in late October ahead of the November 3rd elections. The 16 days before a nomination and a hearing represents a very quick timeline compared to most modern Supreme Court confirmations. More than half the Supreme Court justices have had hearings. We're done within 16 days or less. So we'll start on October 12th, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham told Sunday Morning Futures. Graham continued, blah, 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 blah. 57 days between the nomination and hearing for Kavanaugh, 48 for Gorsuch and Sotomayor, 49 days for Justice Elena Kagan. However, there were just 14 days between the nomination and hearing for retired Justice Anthony Kennedy, 10 days for the late Justice John Paul Stevens, 12 for the late Justice Lewis Powell, and only 12 for the late Chief Justice William Rehnquist. This is not unheard of. It's going to be fast. It's going to be down and dirty. It's going to be brutal. I might actually go up there for part of it. I'd like to be able to do the show from somewhere nearby and do some live, some Facebook Live stuff from there at the Supreme Court. And we'll see. But this was a really important article. Then I'm going to get to Pastor Chad Harvey in a second. The most important line at Amy Coney Barrett's speech. Okay, so you had about 100,000 Christians there during the day. That was over at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the Rose Garden. President Trump nominates Amy Coney Barrett to be the next member of the Supreme Court. Okay, so she's speaking to the White House. She honored the life of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Quote, the flag of the United States is still flying at half staff in memory of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to mark the end of a great American life. She said Justice Ginsburg began her career at a time when women were not welcome in the legal profession. But she not only broke glass ceilings, she smashed them. So very complimentary on that part of Ginsburg's history and career. Then she spoke of the friendship between the late Justice Ginsburg and the late Justice Antonin Scalia, which, by the way, is a great lesson for all of us. Those two were really close friends. Okay? These two great Americans demonstrated, this is what she said, that arguments, even about matters of great consequence, need not destroy affection. In both my personal and professional relationships, I strive to meet that standard. An amazing challenge for all of us. That you can have people that you vehemently disagree with. That doesn't mean you need to have a terrible relationship. I know of parents and kids' relationships being destroyed over politics, especially in the body of Christ. That is inexcusable, okay? Then she delivered the most important part of her speech. This is John McCormick in the National Review. Quote, I clerked for Justice Scalia more than 20 years ago, but the lessons I learned still resonate. His judicial philosophy is mine, too. A judge must apply the law as written. Judges are not policymakers, and they must be resolute in setting aside any policy views they might hold. His judicial philosophy is mine, too. Scalia. And if I could have multiple of any justice, it would be multiples of Scalia, which is why Planned Parenthood and National Organization for Women and all these guys are just spontaneously combusting at this point. Donald Trump and the Senate Republicans want to steal another seat on the Supreme Court so that Amy Coney Barrett can help repeal Roe versus Wade and shred the Affordable Care Act, but not before she votes with a new ultra-conservative majority to validate an election he intends to steal. That's the National Organization for Women. Planned Parenthood Action Fund, a particular insult to the legacy of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, quote, Barrett's history of hostility toward reproductive health and rights, that means she's opposed to killing babies, expanded health care access and more demonstrate that she will put Justice Ginsburg's long record of ensuring that everyone receives equal justice under the law at risk. Ha! That's funny. Everybody wanting equal justice unless you're in the womb and then in New York unless you're in a retirement community with COVID, right? Stuff like that. So if you can't speak for yourself or show up and protest and break stuff and make a fuss, guess what happens to you in America? It's a good chance you're going to die. Some other stuff going on, but I want to get to that. All right, do we have the Chad Harvey thing queued up? Okay, Chad Harvey, pastor of RFA Church, yesterday talking about four lines of defense in the country. One being the conscience. Romans 8, the law is written on man's heart. Everybody has a conscience, okay? That's kind of like a yellow light. What do you do when you come up to a yellow light? Ask a room of 50 people and you'll get a bunch of different answers. So the conscience is there, but it's just a yellow light. What's after that? The family. But the family's been, our conscience is seared as a nation in many different ways, right and wrong, whatever. Then you get the family, but the family's breaking down. 42% of children in America today are growing up with a father in the home. In some urban settings, it's 80, 90%. So the family, another line of defense to teach morality and respect for authority. See ya. I'm going to talk about all this on Theology Thursday this week, by the way. That's going. Then you get the third line of defense, which is government, which was to restrain evil, to protect righteousness, punish unrighteousness, to restrain evil. Basically, even a bad government's better than anarchy because of the human condition, the sin condition, depravity, human depravity. Okay? So it's in the context of that that Pastor Chad Harvey decided to talk a little bit about how he votes. This is a pastor here in Raleigh, Pastor Chad Harvey. Okay, let's play it.
Is that next breach in God's line of protection? And look, the pastors have been talking to me a little bit. We've got some parking issues here at RFA Church. Parking lot's too full. What are we going to do? So I'm going to help the parking issue right now, okay?
Now listen carefully.
I'm going to tell you something.
Not many pastors
this government
do
thing,
this.
And I don't plan on doing this every week, so don't get used to this. Again, I won't do it next week, so I won't be here. I'm not going to do this every week. I'm going to tell you this. Voting is the least powerful thing the church can do. Do you know that? The most powerful thing we can do is pray and preach the gospel. And so that's what we're supposed to do. But let's hit this voting thing, because I've been hit with a couple criticisms recently. Number one, now you're going to think I'm making this up. I'm not making this up. Pastor, you can no longer say vote biblically. Why can I not say that? Because we know that's code word for vote Donald Trump. So number one, you can't say vote biblically. That's number one. And then pastor, number two, you're so fixated on this abortion issue. Do you not, and this is not just from my black brothers and sisters. This is from white brothers and sisters as well. Did you know there are bigger issues than just the abortion issue? You really need to start focusing on the race issue. I thought about that. And so this last Monday, I just wrote down some thoughts here, okay? As a registered independent, I think y'all are right. I think maybe I've focused on the abortion thing a little too much.
Listen carefully.
And I need to start focusing on the race issue, because that's really what's going on right now. So as a registered independent, I will vote for whatever party brings African-American the lowest unemployment rate in history. That's who I'll vote for. I will vote for whatever party does prison reform that substantially helps the African-American community. I'll do that. Because I love my African-American brothers and sisters, I will not support any candidate that is endorsed by the Defund the Police movement, because now I'm finding out from sociologists and African-American leaders that that's hurting the African-American community more than the white community. So since I love you, I'm not going to do the Defund the Police thing. And since I love my African-American brothers and sisters, I will not endorse any candidate and vote for any candidate that is endorsed by Planned Parenthood that was started by a racist named Margaret Sanger that sets up 79% of their abortion factories in minority communities, kills a substantial number of minority babies, and now we're finding out sells their body parts for profits. Selling body parts for profit, that sounds like slavery to me. I won't support the party of slavery. Thank y'all. Y'all vote for my eyes. I know exactly who I'm going to vote for this year.
Now, when have you ever heard a pastor willing to go that far? Have you ever heard a pastor willing to just hit it straight on? Because there's a lot of people, and I'm going to talk about Tim Keller tomorrow. Tim Keller in a series of tweets, Redeemer Presbyterian Church up in New York. He's retired now. He's fighting cancer. Very serious. But this whole dance with, your conscience doesn't dictate as a Christian that you should vote for a Republican or a Democrat. And so you can kill a baby with your right hand and hand out condoms with your left, and then that's going to make it work. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. When we come back, a little Money Monday update. But I put that video clip is on my Facebook pages. Share it, because you will rarely hear a pastor be that bold. We'll be right back.
Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I've got that video from Pastor Chad Harvey. You need to hear his full message yesterday. It's just great. Talking about cultural engagement for the church as Christians, salt and light. What does that look like? And the gospel comes first. Prayer comes first. That's what he said. The most powerful thing we can do in this election and for our country is pray. Then there's a lot of other things you can do. So this Thursday on Theology Thursday, I'll do the theology of salt and light. Okay, the theology of what it means to be salt and light in your context. Could be your family, could be your neighborhood, could be your work, could be your school, and then here in the United States of America. So this Thursday, and I'll Chad was just hitting on thing after thing that Pastor Chad Harvey here in Raleigh at RFA Church, that it was like a perfect combination of my two-semester civics class, constitution class, and my one-semester Christian ethics class, and he's just hitting. So I was just, you could imagine, I was like a kid in a candy store yesterday, and you rarely hear a pastor that bold, which is awesome. But prayer. By the way, let me ask you this question, because we're going to do a Money Monday update. Are you struggling with contentment? Are you struggling with contentment? Most people do. I struggle with it myself when I got off the radio several years ago back in 2010. And I struggle with it. I knew I wasn't content, so I took several months off. I got off the radio, canceled all the ministry stuff I was involved in. I'm like, I do not feel content. And so I had to study it, and then I taught it. And contentment is a big deal. And most of us struggle with it, especially these days. So we're going to go there first with a little passage of scripture. which is perfect for that, with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, as always, LandmarkGold.com. David, how are you?
I am content for the moment.
Amen. Yes,
it is an ongoing process.
That's exactly right. Yeah, even Paul himself in another passage of Scripture said, I have learned to be content. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So if it took Paul a little work, it's going to take us a little work too. Anyway, great to hear from you, and I know we're going to 1 Timothy first, so let's start there. Thanks so much.
But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Mm. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. So I think contentment, especially maybe for men, I shouldn't be biased because, you know, women deal with the same issues,
sure. Yep.
You know, whether they work or not, you know, and the fight that goes, you know, should I be here, you know, influencing the children, or should I, you know, help provide another income source to the family, that two incomes are almost needed in this day and age, in this environment. So, you know, one thing I learned, I've come across some people in my lifetime. I'm going to boast on my dad. He was a very well-to-do person. That didn't come with a silver spoon. It came over hard work over time. But you never would have known it because he was always content, and he didn't live beyond his means. Yet, on the other hand, I've come across and worked for in the past some very wealthy individuals that it was never enough money, and they had plenty of money to pay their bills. It's just they strived, and these were even, one of them was a believer, a devout Christian. So contentment is a place that affects the heart, that the word says godliness is accompanied to it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's something that we need to strive for and continually remind ourselves. I can't say I have my arms completely around it, but I can say, you know, I've not battled heavily in that area.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is something that, as believers, it's not, the dollar is not our destination.
Yeah,
it is not
amen.
the yardstick. And we have to remind ourselves when we talk about Money Mondays, we're not talking about increasing wealth. We're not talking about any of that. We're learning to be content within the wealth that God has given us.
That's right. And that's kind of the thing. I taught that class, like I mentioned at the intro, for a large adult Sunday school class that I was teaching for several years. And on average, these were a bunch of pretty successful people. And when we took a little contentment test, on average, out of about 80 people, David, our average grade was about a C. So I'm sitting there going,
wow.
Look at what we're saying. Look at the life that we have. Look at what God has provided. And we're looking God square in the face and saying, yeah, you know what? I'm going to give you a C based on where I'm at. That's when you know you've got a real problem with contentment. And we tend to look at that in terms of how big is your house, how much money do you have, blah, 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 blah. There's a whole lot more in there in godliness with contentment. It's great gain. And we have to remember that, especially in these crazy days. Such a great passage of Scripture as always. Thanks, David, for picking that and being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit would have you lead us in. So good to start there every Monday. Let's look at the markets. How are they performing year to date? And then we'll talk about today, which looks great, but last week was kind of mixed. But where are we at year to date?
Well, year to date, the Dow is down now 5.1%. S&P just barely up year to date 1.6%. NASDAQ still leading the charge for the paper index, up 20.7%. But still the winners are gold and silver. Gold at up 22.7%. Silver leading the charge, but got hit really hard last week, up 28.8%.
Wow. Yeah, just amazing. So today, obviously, looks, I mean, a good day on Wall Street. Dow is up 410 points. NASDAQ up 203 points. S&P was up 53 points, a little, almost, you know, 1.7%. So that was, today looks great. Last week was mixed. So what direction are we going in here? Or are we just on another roller coaster ride?
Well, we had a month, looking at the bigger picture, Steve, we had let's start with a small picture, a two-day bump. The largest since April, coming off a four-week down streak, which the S&P has been down for the last 4 weeks, 4% in September, and the FANG, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, also down significantly, 10% in September on average. The sell-off, though, was not a panic one. Induced decline. It was more of a just, well, it's getting a little overheated, a little crowded. a little bit overvalued. Well, a lot of bit overvalued.
Yeah.
but fundamentally, the challenge is the market is still facing some challenges. Immediate term, this can now what you call not just an election, a contested election. There's also still a lack of financial support as a result of the COVID-19 and economic disruption in some areas, and possible more correction that could remain. Technically, though, why we're seeing the market up is because we're trying to get above this 50-day moving average. Last week, we broke down through it. We talked about that last Monday.
Yep.
This week, it's above it in all three indexes just slightly, which is really good news for the market. But the flip side of that, that's Wall Street. Main Street is economic data is now starting to disappoint because stimulus is running dry.
Yeah.
And earning estimates are beginning to fall short. So for those reasons, I will say that the markets may indeed be in a short-term bounce. But long-term, the correction might not be over, and I'll cite Citi Global Strategist said, don't buy the dip in stocks, buy the dip in gold.
Mm. Yeah, fascinating point, and something you need to pay attention to, which is why we talk to David on a weekly basis. These are such important issues, again, from a stewardship position as well as from a contentment position. But what's the Fed doing? I mean, you look at the Fed, quote-unquote, helping the economy. I'm not quite sure I ever buy that. But what's the Fed doing in response to all of this, and what can we expect from them in the future?
Well, again, we talked last week about the Fed before Congress. Now the news is out, and it's kind of like the Fed is pointing fingers at the government, and the Congress is pointing the finger at the Fed, saying that you guys need to each do more stimulus. So the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, said on Wednesday that the lack of further fiscal support from Congress and President Trump would scare and damage the U.S. economy, end quote. So that's big statement from the Fed.
Yep.
And the government was asking the Fed, how are you going to help us? And he said, our actions are in no way an attempt to relay pain from Wall Street, which is surprising he said that. He also went on to say that him and his colleagues have done basically all the things that we can think of. But the Federal Reserve is there, has been there, Steve, to calm the markets. But there's an area that they haven't had a big effect on, and that is small businesses. So the PPPs ran out.
Right.
Small businesses are feeling the pain. They don't have access to public markets. They don't, you know, have stocks, IPOs, or, you know, publicly traded stocks. They can't sell bonds publicly on Wall Street. So they're not given any of the benefits from Wall Street. And 50% of the employment comes from small businesses, roughly, and nearly 50% of the small businesses are going under. So the Federal Reserve, just them buying bonds and, you know, treasury bills, is not going to fix that area.
Nope.
So I think what we're going to see is this new thing that's being talked about and will be soon coming out, and that is digital dollars from the Fed into Americans' Fed bank accounts. That's where we're going. So we don't have enough time to get into all of it, but we'll talk more about it in length next Monday when we have an hour-long program. I'll unveil everything.
Right.
But this is a biggie. I think we're going to see some scripture being fulfilled when this all gets all laid out, and we'll talk about all the ramifications, but this is a big one that is going to affect us all.
Did this kind of come out of nowhere, David, them flirting with the digital currency, or have they been talking about it for a while? Was it kind of undercover, and now it's coming out because as times get more desperate, and like you said, 50% of small businesses failing, and most of the PPP money went to businesses with more than 100 employees, and it's because they have the means, and they have lawyers, and they have accountants, and they were ready to rock and roll and get those dollars, and these dominoes are going to keep falling. But has the Fed flirting with digital currency, is that a new thing?
It's been not by their admittance, but it's new to the public because it's starting to come out. It's been actually coming out in mainstream media, Bloomberg, CNBC, MarketWatch. And even last week, there was an article coming out from Edward Jones. But it is being launched next year.
Jeez.
So imagine the Fed controlling all your accounts. We're not going to get there immediately, but there's a lot to talk about. We don't have time.
Yeah, we'll do that
this
next
Monday.
This
way you got to get some gold.
That's
get
right.
Get some gold outside of the system.
That's right. Get outside the system. So best way people can get some information on that, David.
They can call me 844-879-8882 or go to landmarkgold.com.
All right, God bless you, brother. We'll look forward to a full Money Monday show next week, the first Monday in October. God bless you, David. Thanks for calling.
God bless. God bless you, my brother.
All right, talk to you again real soon. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. A lot more to talk about. We'll hit a bunch of other things tomorrow, including the debate tomorrow night. God willing, we'll talk to you real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.